So we have a pretty good new partner.
Yeah, we do. I'm excited about this one.
Little black and yellow in our lives.
Yeah, that's right. Just quick announcement for all of 2024. This podcast is going to be sponsored by DeWalt Tools. So we're pretty pumped about that, because if you've seen any of our videos online or anything, there's always the black and yellow tools in it. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been using them for years. So when they contacted us about sponsoring the show, we were pretty pumped about it. So over the next year, you're going to hear it. We're going to, usually we just brush by, you know, how we do stuff, and we don't say much about it. But whenever we have the opportunity to tell you about some new DeWalt tool that we love that we're using, we're going to start doing that more.
Because we would want to know about it too.
Yeah, definitely. So. Anyways, Recycler on board, and here's the show.
Hey, I'm Tim C.
Hey, I'm Landon Blank.
And you're listening to Hacking Concrete.
We talk about a lot of stressful projects, and this is like, this I think for me is number one, the most stressful we've ever done. So I'm going to start like at the very beginning, before the building was even built. I didn't even tell Landon what we're talking about today, because I wanted to surprise him. Before the building was even built, there's this concrete guy in Lynchburg who's kind of somewhat of a legend in the concrete world. Concrete guy pours a sample in his shop, and he does the sample for the polished concrete for this big university entirely. Fast forward 6 months to 2 weeks before we're ready to pour concrete on the job. And we find out that they did a sample for us.
Yeah.
Do you know what job I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I do. It's like, don't worry, you're doing it, but we already did a sample for them.
Yeah.
Yep.
One of the most well-known people in the world did the sample. I mean, no pressure. And it wasn't just the sample either. It was like they poured concrete on a 10 by 10 area, and they threw all these different colored rocks in it. Mm-hmm. And they colored the concrete, and then they ground it until the gravel showed, and you have to replicate that
exact thing.
Yeah. And we were like 4 years into polishing at that point, and they told us to come out on the day that they poured so we could help them, like kind of direct them. Do you remember that feeling?
Yeah.
Oh man, I remember walking out there, and it was, I mean, this is a long time ago. So this is one of our earlier commercial jobs. And I wasn't used to wearing like the high-vis shirts and stuff and hard hats. I felt like I was dressed up for Halloween. I was wearing my big safety vest, big, huge hard hat, safety goggles, watching like these 15 dudes running around pumping concrete like five stories up in the air and coming back down.
Yep.
And he was like, how do you want it done? I was like, I don't know.
And he was like, well, this way was, I was like, you know, we need, if you want us to go full ag, we need a little bit tacky. Well, when he said tacky, it looked like a rough grade, looked like a cornfield, not with just rough as a plowed field.
He's like, is that good enough? And it looked rough.
I was like, no, it's not good enough.
Yeah. It looked rough. Like Dixie Youth baseball field. Rough.
Yeah. That's right. Just, that's right.
I have a picture. Here's a picture. Yeah. And then he was like, is that good? And you and I are like, I mean, he probably knows, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
What are you asking us for?
You're the one that did the sample.
Do you remember the guy that was throwing the rock into the concrete? Do you remember watching that process?
Yes. There was no rhythm to it at all. It was just whatever he felt like doing. Here's some red, here's some yellow. Here's some here, here's some there.
He had like two wheelbarrows, and they acted like he was going to meticulously like place this stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
He had two separate wheelbarrows, and he was just taking a shovel, and he was dipping in, and he was just slinging.
So we go to expose it, and it was kind of, actually we did a, remember we did a giveaway. Like if someone could, if someone could guess how many bags of dust were from that floor, they got like an iPad mini.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was so many bags. That was hundreds.
It was hundreds, yeah.
And then all of a sudden the owner comes in and said, oh, I think we need to ground a little bit more. Well, I think we had ground so much we got through what he had thrown on top.
We were unsure. We were unsure if we got all the way through it. So because the problem was you were grinding and you didn't, we don't see any red. What are we going to do? We don't see any red. So we grind some more. And we don't know if we went through it or if they just didn't broadcast it in the areas.
Oh, man.
And and the guy was like, we want to grind some more after we have like dumpsters of dust. It went pretty good though. I mean, I thought it turned out great, and I still send people up there all the time. It looks awesome.
Yeah, it's fine.
But that it wasn't as simple as that, though. I mean,
right.
There was the issue of
But do you think of anybody else as like had another company do the sample for them, and then like, yeah, we'll do the sample for you. It's your job.
It's crazy.
And so the funny thing about that project was that the biggest concrete maker that supplies all surrounding areas of our city and our city changed their whole program because of that, what happened on that job.
I didn't even think about that. That's right.
So as we finish, we started noticing little pieces in the concrete,
mm-hmm.
and you pick at it and it was bags, like paper bags.
Yep.
And all of a sudden you pick at it more and more, and there was chunks coming out of the concrete.
Yeah, it'd be like a whole chunk of paper would come out, and then it's a hole.
And then why was that? Because you you had known this in the past from your doing.
Right. So that happens from, we've noticed that on stamped concrete jobs where before it got popular, we would put color in the truck on the job site. So we order it in bags, and the bags say to throw the whole bag in the truck. So we did that for a while, and we noticed when we were doing that we would get these chunks, balls of paper. And it was paper from the bags of color that they were throwing in at the plant.
Right. At the plant.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, maybe they don't anticipate a grind so heavy mm-hmm. to expose those bags.
Right.
Since that, the entire plant now is liquid-based.
Yeah.
Compared to powder.
They ordered that Colormatic machine where they have like four tubs of color and they can make any color. It's basically like a paint mixer for concrete now.
Right.
They have.
And so the funny thing is that all of a sudden someone did at the factory at the truck when they're putting it in the truck or in the factory?
It's at the, when they put it in the truck, it was paper bags, and the bags have the ends are folded. And
yeah.
The folds are what don't dissolve.
And the folds are what gave us a problem. So all of a sudden, by them doing that, we had no idea. All of a sudden, and I know people know this because it happens all the time to us, is someone else's problem becomes our problem.
Yes.
And we have to deal with it. It's not contractual.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that it's kind of, oh, well, we just got to fix it. So what we had to do is.
We literally don't have the option to say, well, I'm not going to do it. Sorry.
Right. What do we do? Do we back off right now?
Yeah.
So someone else's problem becomes your problem.
Yep.
And we ended up trying to find every corner and core drilling out those holes.
Yep.
And then when we core drilled them, the owner had to verify that was a good enough patch.
Yeah.
So this adds days and days and days.
Yeah. I love that when you did it though, it was, I remember us, it was like a Saturday afternoon and you were up there core drilling, you and Daryl, the guy that owns this massive construction company.
Yeah.
Nobody else is on the job site, but you two, and mm-hmm. you're up there core drilling these holes.
Yeah.
Cause he's like stressed out to the max too.
Yep. He was. And just like even he said that, he's like, I purchased all the concrete, but yeah, this is my problem now. So he was feeling the same way we were.
Yeah.
You know, like concrete companies are not going to come back in here and do anything about this.
Yeah. The concrete plant is going to say, well, we just ordered the color you chose and did it the way they said to do it. So they're going to put it on the manufacturer. Well, the manufacturer writes on the bag, we're not responsible for how you use this. So.
Right.
That was so funny too. You drilled those holes on the core drilling. He drilled out like 10 holes. They were like, you know, like this big, like size of a tennis ball.
Mm-hmm.
And to patch them though, Daryl, the contractor was like, you have to send a whole yard of concrete. I'm not going to bag mix it. I'm not going to do anything. They're going to, and they send a truck out on a Saturday with a whole yard of concrete to fill 10 holes the size of a tennis ball.
And we broadcasted little pieces into the hole. We used to do a lot of stuff for free.
Yeah.
And I think we still do a lot of stuff for free. Meanwhile, those guys are still working. They're still putting in that time. It's still being counted. But it's so hard when you're in the midst of job and you have deadlines, boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. We're not doing anything else. But I know there's guys listening to this that would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But I don't know why we don't do that, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, a lot of times we know the contractor so well, we just feel bad.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before in that high school. We polished the fully exposed aggregate mm-hmm. polished high school. We should have stopped at the beginning of that and we didn't.
Right.
Because we felt bad. Why though? It's so dumb.
Right. But recently I've been looking at business, like everything, it's essentially like it's a whirlpool that is sucking money.
Yeah.
Every minute it's sucking money.
Yeah.
And so trying to find out, where is this money going? What is this doing? What is it, you know?
Yeah.
And those are the things that will absolutely suck you out of. Shoot, it could be 20 hours of labor.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You did one for in Scottsville, that school where something happened and you had to go back and basically redo the whole job because they covered it up like right after you finished and it got wet and something happened.
Yeah, in Charlottesville.
You mm-hmm. had to re. You basically yep. had to redo that whole job. Mm-hmm. And you didn't get paid yep. for that.
Never got paid for it. 2 years later.
They said they would pay. They said on the spot that they would pay for it.
Right. Now, take this for granted. So we didn't push that issue, right?
Yeah.
And we have other friends that are owners too that are like this. We didn't push for that money. But yet, since then, we've gotten how much work from that contractor?
I know, that's true.
Tons and tons and tons of work.
Yeah.
So it's like, where's the area where you... Where you just push? Are you that company that is like, nope, no matter what, boom, boom, boom. this is what we do. We would not do anything else, and you're gonna pay, and you're gonna blah blah. Or are you the guys that you move, you ebb and flow, mm-hmm. with just kind of like life?
Yeah, I think we tend to do that, but
I think we flow a little too much sometimes. But
we do, yeah. There should be some sort of like system for that because I get these calls from real estate agents all the time, mm-hmm. and they're like, I'll give them a price, and then they'll say, you know, I'm a real estate agent. If you give yeah. me a good deal, I'll get you a lot of work. Which, and then they're always offended when we're like, no.
And that is one thing I think we do well. we never bite on that.
No.
We have to treat this like this is the only job I'll ever do for you.
Yeah. How do you do, what's the point where you determine that this guy's worth you giving a little bit because, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like this guy's worth giving him something for free because future work will come from it. But this real estate agent is probably not going to ever give you anything. How do you?
Well, maybe that's that history like we just talked about. We let that one job go because they've already trusted us in so many other projects, and then we got in so much more. Yeah. Not initially, but hey, you do a little track record with us, and we'll give you some grace on some things, but not up front.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Because there's about 1,000 other realtors like within 10 miles over here.
Yeah. You know, I'm a real estate agent. It's like every week. Is it bad to be disparaging of real estate agents?
No. Well, it's just anything. It's just whether it's a real estate agent or a new contractor.
Yeah.
I'm building, that's a perfect example. Hey, I'm building 10 of these homes.
Yeah. But I'm going to do my house first. Can you give me a deal?
Yeah. Yeah. So here's another one. Man, this is, I don't know if this relates to people, if other people this bad. So we just finished, I don't know, 30,000 square feet trial polish job. All right, we've got a new casino coming in Virginia, and things are popping around there. So we're right beside the casino, doing a department store that had been burned. And we get done with everything. See, this is crazy. So we get done with everything. The polish looks great. I mean, it looks as good as it can. It was a burned building, right? I mean. It's insane. And so contractor goes back by and says, hey, we got a couple more holes that need to be filled. There were holes everywhere. And so we went and filled them. And one spot of the floor, mm-hmm. one of the guys, we use a certain type of patch and we have a somewhat of a secret of how we get them down. Anyway, creates a little bit of a mess. We were done.
Yeah.
That one little patch. I guess he didn't use a hand grinder or I mean, he didn't use a vacuum, the hand grinder. It just got it flat.
Oh, no.
Just got it flat real quick.
Why did he use a hand grinder without a vac?
Just trying to be quick. And all he could have done was just go grab the DeWalt that we use all the time attached to our hand grinders and just pull it right over there.
He hand ground with no vac?
With no vac.
Unbelievable.
Just go grab the vac.
I think that my favorite thing DeWalt makes is that HEPA vac. And it's so annoying when our guys act like it's too much trouble to get them out because it's the kind of, you can plug it straight into any old outlet. You don't have to wire it into the box. Mm-hmm. And then the vacuum has a port, a plug on it where you can plug your grinder into the plug on the vac.
Yeah.
And then just the hose to the hand grinder. Like it takes 2 seconds.
And then
to
you
set
just
up.
Lay the hand grinder on top of it and just roll it around down the floor.
It takes 2 seconds to set it up. And because he wouldn't take those 2 seconds to do that, you ended up having to clean the whole store.
That's right. Meanwhile, while he's saying this, plumbers are taking jackhammers onto the side of the side in the area we polished. There's pieces of debris all in the floor. There's guys retouching up drywall on the ceiling. Drywall's pouring all over concrete floor.
Yeah.
And somehow, to appease this guy, you don't even know this.
I haven't heard this, no.
This department store was full. Loaded up. Stocked shelves.
Oh, it's open?
Not even open yet. It was like the day before. He's like, okay, Now I'm ready for you to clean the floor.
Ready for you to clean the floor?
I almost lost my mind. I was like...
What in the world?
So I rent another auto scrubber.
That's why you rented it again?
Rented it again.
Unbelievable.
Cleaned in between all the aisles and all of it. It's so much merchandise and crap in there, you can barely go shoulder to shoulder. Just to appease.
Yeah.
You know, something that's just like.
All because you made a little bit of a dusty spot.
Right. But you can see how working with new people. And then, do I really shake this butt? Do I really?
It's kind of ludicrous to say, I'm ready for you to clean the floor. Like,
Right. And what happened was, he wasn't a true contractor. It's a huge, huge, huge remediation company.
Yeah.
And he was acting like a contractor and he didn't know what he was doing.
Okay.
So do I tell him that in a nice way? Or do I just go rent an auto scrubber and say, all right, there you go.
You probably just rent one and move on so you can get paid.
So again, it's just this constant thing. And I know people are going to listen to be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, why'd you clean that for free? But you know, also that contractor, that company, they pay really fast.
They pay fast. We've
done a couple of really big jobs for them. So this is one of those things where sometimes you eat that stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think that a lot of businesses would do that.
Right.
I'm not sure. Not sure how common it is. I have no idea.
I think it's more common than you think, but I also think there needs to be some type of a metal gram. Meanwhile, I'm in a department store trying to get around kid size 7 racks of costumes, you know?
Yeah.
Hoping water doesn't pour all over it.
That's so funny. So you spend a whole day down there when you're like maxed out. You're mm-hmm. already maxed out. You mm-hmm. need to be in other places and you spend a day cleaning, just cleaning the most mundane of things.
Right. And not even doing it. It didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You're just appeasing people.
My dad calls that a courtesy.
A courtesy.
A courtesy clean.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
A courtesy to get a check.
Yep. So. Got a check, though.
Got a check.
We let a lot of stuff go.
Yeah.
But I wonder if our customers feel like they let some stuff go on us, too.
They probably do. They probably do. Yep.